bad, but he does such a good job. I just wanted to hear it from him. So you do have your notes there. There are actually two translations there. The NIV is what you heard earlier in our children's moment, and what Jerry just read is the New Living Translation from which I'll be preaching, but they're very, very similar. I just thought it'd be helpful for you to have both of them, and well, the scripture's so short today that I thought it'd be okay to put both in there. You also have some notes. The outline is there if you want to follow along, and I'll be asking you to write down a scripture that's not printed in each section, one for you to look over this week, and so if you want to write that down, that'd be great. If you don't, that's okay too. So just want to ask you to follow along with me as we look at this familiar text, but let's pray first and ask for God's blessing. God, we do thank you for this text in front of us. We thank you for the familiarity of it. We thank you for the power that's here in these words. Help us now, Lord, as we study. May your spirit guide us and direct our thoughts, and may we stay fully focused on what you may have for us in this text today. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, if you notice in your outline there, the world turned upside down. The world turned upside down. Some of you might be feeling that way this morning. You might have experienced that feeling throughout your week. The reality is that's a common feeling, and I think the way to respond to that is what we're going to be talking about today, trust. Trust is so crucial right now. First, trust in the Lord. Trust in God. That's always our go-to. As Christians, that should always be our first step, is the trust in the Lord. That will never fail you, as we'll learn. That's the crucial foundation for our lives. Trust in the Lord. Second, trust in your leadership, trust in your church leadership. God has given you an amazing session, a group of men and women who are just mature in their faith and committed to the Lord. He's given you church leaders throughout your deacons, your Joel and so many others in this church family that are just amazing leaders. Trust your church leadership. And even if you don't always get the details you may want, trust your church leadership. That's really important. And then third, trust Pastor Troy. Troy's an amazing man of God, and as I've walked with him through this, his strength, his faith is so amazing, and trust that God will heal, God will continue to shepherd this church family through Pastor Troy, but trust in your pastor. That's always a good thing to do as well. The world turned upside down, though, is the feeling we've been dealing with, and that's an understandable feeling, but feelings are kind of something you have to be careful with. Kathy's sister tells her five children something awesome about your feelings. She talks about your feelings. Your feelings are like a car. You're in your car, right? And your feelings are passengers. They're going to be with you. They're going to be with you. That's the way it is. They belong in the car. Don't allow your feelings in the driver's seat. Your feelings cannot drive the car. It should not drive the car. Your feelings are with you. You have to acknowledge them and deal with them, and they're valid, and they're... but they cannot drive the car. They should not drive your car. Your life is your car. Don't allow your feelings to drive it. They're just passengers. Passenger. You can tell them to shut up every now and then, but the reality is they're there. They have to be dealt with, but your feelings can't drive the car. The world turned upside down. That phrase, for me, it's history. It's American history. If you know your Revolutionary War history, that phrase was actually part of a song. It's a British folk song that had become a British drinking song. And after the Battle of Yorktown, 1781, the British were surrounded. The American army had them locked in by land. The French fleet had them locked in on the ocean. And they could not escape. They had to surrender an entire army. General Cornwallis surrendered his entire army to George Washington. And as that army was marched out of Yorktown, as they surrendered and were defeated, their musicians played "The World Turned Upside Down." The world turned upside down. Because for them, that's what had happened. The impossible had happened. The improbable had happened. As the musical Hamilton has it, this ragtag volunteer army in need of a shower just overcame a world superpower. They defeated the British army. That had never happened in modern history back then. So the reality is the world had turned upside down. That's the way they felt. But again, feelings don't always speak reality. That's why trust is so important. That's why our faith is so important. You dig down deep at times like this, and that phrase that's there in your handout, faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of trust. So often I think when we rely on our faith, we worry because, well, I have some doubts too, but that's normal. That's very normal. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of trust. So today, if you're trusting in God for that next step, your faith is strong, your faith will carry you through. Even if you have some doubts along the way, that's normal. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of trust. So that's why I turned to this psalm. This whole week, this psalm has been echoing in my mind. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And the reality is, that's where we have to live right now. We have to live with our trust in the Lord, secure and solid, and carrying us through. So we'll break this passage apart. If you'd look with me at that first phrase, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, trust in the Lord. Now, the Hebrew taught that the heart was the center of not just your emotions. Your heart was the center of all of you, your volition, your will, your convictions. So when the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, it means with all of you, with all of your being, you invest yourself in trusting in the Lord, in trusting in the Lord. And if you think about that, that's a pretty awesome thing to do, but it speaks to the fact that trust, the object of your trust, is kind of important. Where do you put your trust? In who do you put your trust? In what do you put your trust? You know, that's why it's so important to put your trust in God. God will never let you down. If you think about it, trust is a part of your everyday life. We don't think about this very often, but every single day you trust millions of times. This morning, you got up, you trusted that your electronic devices were displaying the time correctly, right? You trusted that. You trusted in what you ate for breakfast or drank for your coffee or orange juice. You trusted that those ingredients were put together correctly, that it had been stored correctly, shipped correctly. You were trusting in that. Those prescriptions, those medicines you may have taken, you were trusting that the pharmacist knew what they were doing, that the companies who formulated that knew what they were doing, that those drugs were going to help you, not hurt you. You trusted as you got in your vehicles this morning to drive the church, that that car had been maintained properly, manufactured properly, that the person who drove it last didn't drain all the fuel out and forgot to put gas in it. You trusted those gauges that you look at. You trusted the other drivers as you came to stoplights and stop signs that they would obey the traffic signs, the traffic laws. You trusted on your way walking in the church. You trusted as you're sitting in these pews that they're not going to collapse under you right now. You trust every single moment of the day a lot of times. You're trusting the air you breathe right now to have the correct mixture of oxygen and other gases. We trust constantly, but we're just not aware of it most times because we've trusted a lot of times in something that we can find trustworthy. It's when that trust is broken that we struggle. When we put our trust in something that is found to be not trustworthy. And the reality is everything is going to let us down at some point. And everyone is going to break our trust at some point. Trust is always a risk. There is some level of risk with everything. You've read stories of people who took prescription meds that were misformulated or wrongly labeled, and they had health issues as a result. You've seen stories where the bridge you drive across every day, one day it just collapsed. You've heard situations where people did not obey the traffic laws, and maybe you've experienced that yourself. You trusted, and that trust was broken. Trust is always a risk, except when it comes to God. God is the one object of trust that will never let you down, will never let you go, will never abandon you, even if it feels like he has. The reality is, he never will and never has. The object of your trust is very important. God is trustworthy. He's always kept his promises and he always will. You see that throughout Scripture. No matter how we fail, God always stays faithful. He stays faithful. So how do we get better at trusting God? Unfortunately, it's just by practice. We just have to practice continuing to trust God. When I was little, I remember my grandmother saying, you trust God with the little things, and then when it comes time for those big things, it's a lot easier to trust him, isn't it? You trust God with the little things, and then when you get to those big moments, it's a lot easier to trust him because you've developed a pattern, a habit of trusting him. That's the way it works. We get better trusting God by just doing it more often and more frequently. The reality is that's the way it works. The scripture I want you to remember is John 15:7. It's about remaining in Christ. And when we remain in Christ, he remains in us. And it's that idea of we trust and God continues to prove his faithfulness over and over and over again. When you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's the way it works, Jesus says. It's the vine and the branches. When we stay connected to Jesus, stay connected to the Lord, he remains in us, and thus we continue to bear the fruit of trusting him. We know what that's like for him to carry us and help us. When we trust the Lord with all of our heart, that's what it leads to, is that remaining in him and that joy that comes from that. The second point there, if you look with me, we trust the Lord with all of our heart, and we do not depend on our own understanding. We don't depend on our own understanding. You don't rely on your own understanding. So the first question that I have to ask is, why not? What's wrong with my understanding? I'm a pretty smart person. You know, I've been to seminary, went to Bible college, that whole thing. Why can't I just rely on my own understanding? That's what our culture asks us every day. Our culture out there, just as always, is saying to us, don't rely on God, rely on your own understanding. You're smart. We're smarter now than we've ever been as a human race. We're just great. We've evolved so much and we know so much. And the reality is that's a lie. Our human pride, every generation struggles with human pride. Our pride that says we know better. There's something about us. We're just so great. We're enlightened now. Every generation thinks that. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve, what was their great sin? Yes, of course, they disobeyed God, but first it started with pride. Pride was the root of that sin. Pride's the root of every sin. Where Adam and Eve listened to the lie and said they could be like God, and they disobeyed, but it starts with pride. It always starts with pride. I know better. The reality is our culture now is even more blatant about that. There's no truth, there's no false, there's just in between. My truth, my reality. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's just something in between that I can define by myself. I can do what is right in my own eyes. If you want to see that in Scripture, read the book of Judges. The same exact thing was existing in that culture. Culture is like a pendulum, it swings back and forth, and right now we're in that phase where everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes, and it leads to a very dangerous, dangerous thing, because we're not trusting the Lord, we're not relying on Him. And the problem with that is, that second phrase that's there in your notes, there's a problem because we are relying on a limited perspective and finite knowledge. We humans, we have a very limited perspective. We can only see what's in front of us. We can only see our own lives and from our own narrow perspective. And we have a very finite knowledge. We only have as much knowledge as we humans have. It's finite. It's limited. It's just a little bit of knowledge. So finite knowledge and limited perspective, that's a dangerous reality because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to find that that's not the way to go. As opposed to God, unlimited perspective, infinite knowledge. God knows all things, past, present, future. God sees all things, past, present, future. He has unlimited perspective. He can see the future. He knows the past. He knows our present. He knows many things that we cannot know. What's going on in someone else's life? What's going on in someone else's world? He knows the inner hearts of us all. So God has an unlimited perspective and infinite knowledge. So which would you rather trust? Narrow, limited perspective, finite knowledge, or unlimited perspective, infinite knowledge? That's the choice today. The Scripture is commanding us, urging us, challenging us. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't depend on it. It's going to fail you. It invariably is going to fail you. Even if you think it's not, it's going to. So for some of us, okay, that's good. I get that. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on my understanding. I get that. That third phrase becomes very important then. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, is what the NIV says. Seek His will in all that you do, is what the NLT says. Seek His will in all that you do. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the Scripture. Back in point two, the Scripture is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It talks about God's unlimited perspective and His infinite knowledge. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 talks about how God's thoughts are so far above our thoughts, how His ways are far beyond our imagination. How as high as the heaven is above the earth, so God's ways and thoughts are above ours. It's Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. That's important for that second point. Now on to the third point. How do we do this? Well, we seek His will in all that we do. Seek His will in all that we do. When I was young, I thought the will of God was kind of a nebulous thing, like a point in time or a place, like a little tiny island in a giant river, right? If I could just get to that place, that point in the river that I could call God's will. I focused on it as God's will for my life, you know, for my work, for who I'd marry, all those things, was just this point in the river. If I could just swim hard enough and get to that point in the river, then I would know God's will. But reality is, as I studied Scripture, as I was mentored by wise and godly people, what I realized is God's will is the river. God's will is the river. Stay inside the banks of the river, and you're in God's will. The way you know that is what the Scripture tells you to do. The Scripture tells you very clearly how to stay in God's will. You follow Him. You obey. You keep yourself submitted fully to God. That's the way you stay in His will. And a lot of times, it's those simple choices every day. It's not necessarily the big things. Yes, the big things are important. Who you marry, where you work, where you go to college, where you live. Those are very important. But the reality is, the simple choices every day is the way you stay in God's will. The simple choices every day. So this scripture tells us, in all that we do, to seek God's will. In all that we do, to seek God's will. The way to do that is Romans 12:1. It talks about offering yourselves as living sacrifices. Offering yourselves as living sacrifices because of what all God has done for us. We're to respond by offering ourselves as living sacrifices. We're to put ourselves into God's hands and say, Lord, I am yours. Use me, work through me, any way you want, I am yours. But as I say, the problem with a living sacrifice, we keep crawling off the altar, you know? You got to keep offering yourself to God. It's an ongoing pursuit. It's not a one and done sort of thing. Daily, hourly, you have to say to yourself, I belong to God. I have to submit myself to God's word. I have to let God's spirit lead and empower me. I have to sometimes lean on God's people. I have to serve God's church. I belong to God. So how am I going to do that today? Live according to that reality. And then Romans 12:2 is equally important. It says, do not let yourself conform to the ways of the world. Don't be conformed. Don't be like the world. Don't imitate the world around you. No, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In other words, God will change you, and as he changes you, your mind will be renewed. You'll understand his will more and more, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 are the key verses that help you with this phrase. It shows you how to walk in God's will, how to live in God's will. It's those simple choices every day. I'm going to choose the things that draw me closer to God, and I'm going to try to resist those things that pull me away from God. And it's simple choices every day that are going to make the difference. Romans 12, 1 and 2 will be a crucial verse to help you live that out. And then look at the promise there in the last phrase. And he will make your path straight, is the NIV. He will show you which path to take. He will show you which path to take. See, the Hebrew there talks about what we heard earlier from the children's moment. It talks about life being a maze. You just don't know which way to go. All you see is the twisty, turny. You know, you can't see around the corners. You can't see because there's so many twists and turns and blah. But what does God do? As you trust him, as you devote yourself to seeking his will, as you try not to lean on your own understanding but lean on him, he straightens it out. He makes it so you can see, so you can know which way to go. He'll show you which path to take. He'll show you which path to take. His scripture affirms it. It says, when you seek, you will find. When you ask, it will be answered. When you knock, the door will be answered. His scripture tells you, all you have to do is seek me and know me, and I will guide you. I will show you the path. Now, the key verse here is Psalm 119:105. Psalm 119:105. It's a familiar verse. Your word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. Your word is a light to my path and a lamp unto my feet. Now, the key with that, though, is it's kind of a headlamp. The Hebrew there describes a lamp that you put on your head, and it shows you just the next couple steps. It doesn't show you 6 miles down the road. It doesn't show you 5 years in the future. It shows you the next couple steps. The word of God will show you the next couple steps. The Spirit of God will help you figure out the next couple steps. The people of God can advise you and counsel you just to know the next couple steps. And then God begins to direct you and guide you. That's what it's all about. He will make your path straight. He'll show you which path to take. But very rarely do you get the blueprint of the rest of your life. I wish you did. I wish I did. I wish I could know 10 years down the line. But the reality is God works in a way to keep trusting him. We take those simple choices every day, and he guides us and directs us and helps us. That's the way it works. So this morning, we have some pretty big things to trust God with, don't we? We have opportunities to live this out in our daily lives from this moment on, where we need to remember to choose to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't rely on our own understanding. We can't figure this one out. We cannot, despite what we know or don't know or want to know, we're not going to be able to figure this out. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Seek to do his will. Simple choices every day will keep you close to him. And finally, you can rely on that promise. He will show you which path to take. He's going to show you which path to take in your personal life, in your professional life, with your family. He'll guide you. He'll show you which path to take, and you can walk with confidence and courage knowing that God is with you. So this morning, that's where we are. to walk by faith, not by sight, to trust him with all of our hearts. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank you that your scripture reminds us that trust is our choice, and you will empower us to trust you. You will empower us to trust you with our full hearts right now. Lord, this church is an amazing church family, and we know, Lord, that you're here with us, and you'll help us. You'll help us not lean on our own understandings, but rely on you. You'll help us to seek your will, to do your will every day, to remember that your will is not a point or a place, but it's us obeying you and following you. And then, Lord, the promise that you will help us. You will show us which path to take. We trust you fully, Lord. We submit ourselves fully to you, and we ask you to continue to strengthen us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.